Psalm chapter number 19, and we'll just, actually, we're going to really cover this whole chapter, but we'll just focus there on really the focus of this chapter, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And today, tonight, really what we're going to be focusing on, what's really going to happen is we're going to have a heart examination. And today, I mean, we're going to be talking about, of course, about missions, you know, but the thing is, it's not only about looking on the outside, but we need to be looking on the inside as well, too. How is my relationship with God? How is my heart doing? Am I, you know, working toward building a closer relationship to Him? You know, we need to be focusing on ourselves as well so that God can be able to use us to accomplish His work here and across the world as well, too. And we'll be talking about that and covering that within this passage tonight. But before we go any further, let's ask God to bless this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for today, and just thank you for once again just being able to be able to present the need that's there in Hawaii and, of course, across this world, Lord. But Lord, I do ask you to please be specifically with this message for tonight. I ask you to please be with the congregation, just help them to open up their ears, open up their hearts, Lord, to whatever you may have for them in this moment. But Lord, also be specifically with me, just enter in yourself, and just fill me with your spirit, and allow me to say the words that you want me to say, Lord, so that not only can your truth be communicated to this congregation, Lord, and these principles, but also so that we can leave here in a closer relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for all you've given us, Lord. I just want to say we love you. Please name I pray. Amen. To me, I've always been amazed, impressed by the missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. And I've read books about him. I've done papers on him in college. I've looked at his journeys online. And really, the man's story, it really is amazing because it is a true rags-to-riches story. And when I say that, I mean back when he was 12 or 13, David Livingstone got a job. And he eventually worked the job to get enough money to go to college. And when he went to college, he didn't want to do just studying in the medical field, but he really specifically wanted to be a medical missionary. And so he went through college, and was able to graduate, and he wanted to go to Asia and minister there, but you know, through a series of events, God had other plans for him and actually called him to the continent of Africa. And of course, if the story would have just stopped there, that would be a pretty cool story. I mean, here you have this kid who worked hard as a young person, eventually got to college, got the skills that he needed, and now, you know, he finally made it to where he was planning. I mean, that's what you write books about. That's what you make movies about. I mean, that's an inspiring story. But the cool thing is, the story doesn't just stop there. You know, we see him not only going through the interior jungles of Africa with the gospel, you know, with medical stuff, but also with the gospel. Healing people physically, but also spiritually as well, too. The relationship with God. But the thing is, there came a time when the brother of Dr. Livingstone, Charles Livingstone, wrote his brother a letter urging his brother to come to America because there's a land of great opportunity. David famously replied to his brother. He said, "Charles, I am a missionary, heart and soul. God had an only son, and he was a missionary and a physician. I am a poor, poor imitation of him. I wish to be. In this service, I hope to live. In it, I wish to die." You see, David Livingstone truly had the heart of a missionary. He was ready to be faithful, and he was ready to stay dedicated to the end. But even though David Livingstone seemed to be this legendary missionary who did some pretty amazing things for God, the fact of the matter is, here tonight, he was just a servant of God doing what God called him to do. And the thing is, you and I here tonight, we too can do that as well. You know, we too can be like Dr. Livingstone. And while Livingstone had such a great impact for the interior jungles of Africa, we cannot forget how much of an impact this book had on him and on his life. You know, it was God and His Word, and the Word has such a great impact on history. But the question I have for you this evening is, how much of an impact has it made in your life? Has it caused you to change course? Has it caused you to change direction? Has it caused you to see things? You know, how much of an impact has it made on your life? Has it caused you to change your course, to change your heart, change your life? Or do you kind of just view this book as just a religious fact book? You just kind of pull off the shelf and get some good things out of it. You know, Mahatma Gandhi once said about the Word of God, he said, "You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it's nothing more than a piece of literature." And I hope that's what none of us here believe tonight, that the Word of God is just another piece of literature, you know, just a book that we pull off the shelf on Sunday and Wednesday. It's just to kind of feel spiritual about it, you know, religious, you know. Because the thing is, we need to remember all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's breath. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know, and the thing is, while we, you know, talk about being a missionary, you know, we have a lot of missions messages. And when you're talking about missions, we tend to look at the world, as Pastor was saying, 8 billion people. There's 8 billion people on the planet. And the thing is, the sad thing is, most of them haven't even heard one time who Jesus Christ is. That's a sobering thought. That's a very sad thought. And that should cause us to say, hey, I need to do something about that. You know, I need to somehow get that message, the message of the gospel, to them. Whether that's sending missionaries out there, or whether that's me saying, hey, I need to go. You know, God's calling me. But the thing is, while we focus on the great needs that are out across this world today, we need to focus on something a little bit closer to home. We really need to focus on our hearts as well. Because the thing is, if we have a relationship with God, if you're born again here tonight, and if we read God's Word and let God's Word change the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, God will be able to fully use us to accomplish His will for our lives. See, because the thing is, when God has our hearts, everything else falls into line. How we love our spouse, how we treat others. And in terms of missions, you know, praying for more laborers, that's what in Matthew chapter 9, that's Jesus' only prayer request, that we pray for more laborers to go into the harvest. Praying for more laborers, but also giving and sending help to more laborers, and maybe even ourselves becoming laborers to the foreign field, or maybe to the local field, here to our city as well, too. These and more are all byproducts of a heart fully submitted to God. And this evening, we're going to be taking a look at 3 points to help you realize not only how awesome our God is, but also this, hopefully this chapter will help you have a heart for missions, which is ultimately having a heart for God. We see, first of all, in this passage, number one, if you'd like to take notes this evening, number one, we see the powerful declaration of creation. The powerful declaration of creation. Look there, verse number one. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You kind of put kind of subpoint, letter A, all creation points to an undeniable architect. You know, not about you, but every time that I look up at the night sky, I always think to myself, how can somebody believe that all just happened? You know, that all is just an accident? Because the thing is, when you look at the facts of science, and you look at the fact and learn of its complexities, you know, you just can't believe that it all just happened. You have to believe that it was marvelously created. Because you look at the facts of science, you look at the facts of the universe, and you have to believe that it all points to an undeniable architect. You realize the Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy that you and I are privileged to live in, the Milky Way galaxy, scientists say, is shaped like a giant dish, like a giant bowl. And they say if you're able to go to one side of this giant dish, this giant bowl, and you were to travel at the speed of 186,282 miles per second, which is the speed of light, if you were to travel at that great speed, it still would take you 100,000 years to cross the Milky Way galaxy. You see, it's amazing creation that points to an undeniable architect. But think about maybe a little bit something closer to home, like our human bodies. Our bodies have 203 bones in them. We also have 600 muscles as well. And for you to walk into church this evening, it took 300 of those muscles working perfectly in sync just for you to do the simple task of walking. You know, our body has 970 miles of blood vessels running through it, carrying nutrients, oxygen, water, so that we can just function normally here tonight. The scientists say each one of our ears contains about 20,000 hairs. Isn't that a lovely thought? You think about that? 20,000 hairs in your ear? Kind of gross. But they say if one of those hairs breaks or is damaged, our hearing becomes impaired. Our heart beats 4,200 times an hour. Our body pumps 12 tons of blood each and every day. See, the thing is, all you have to do is look at the facts of science. You have to believe that it all points to an undeniable architect. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But not only does the powerful declaration of creation reveal to us an undeniable architect, But we do see here in this passage, there is, too, a universal articulation. Letter B, a universal articulation. Take a look at verse number 3. The Bible says, there is no speech, no language, or their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and to their words to the end of the world. See, the thing is, God has delivered a message to the world that is so plain, it crosses every language barrier that's out there. The thing is, there's no part of creation that doesn't understand God's universal revelation of creation. Because creation speaks in all languages, to all cultures, in all places, to all people. Everyone in the world sees or experiences the results of God's handiwork around them and above them. The thing is, God put them there to not only show his glory, but God put it there to reveal his majesty to all mankind. But this creation, or as it's also known, this general revelation, it's not a, it can be seen as kind of a universal call for people to acknowledge God's existence. But general revelation by itself, it can't lead a person to Christ. And when I say that, I mean, you can't just go up to a tree and kind of say, well, this leaf says John 3:16. It says, now skip down to this one. This one says Romans 3. It doesn't walk you down the Romans road and says, at the end, hey, call this number if you got saved. That's not what it does. That's what creation can't do then. But the thing is, if we want a heart for missions, we need to realize how important it is for us to proclaim the gospel throughout the whole world. That means going to Africa, Asia, all those continents. But that means going across the street from us as well, too. Reaching our family members, our co-workers, the people that God's in place. The thing is, God's placed you specifically where you are for a reason. And that's to reach the people around you. Because the people that are around you, I will probably never see in my entire life. But the thing is, you will, each and every day. God's put you there for a reason, just like he's put us back in Hawaii, that we can reach the people there as well, reach them with the gospel. That's the cool thing about it. But the thing is, if we want a heart for missions, I mean, you need to, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We need to be out there. We need to be telling people. You know, we accomplish this, by praying for more laborers to go, because that's what Christ wanted us to pray for. Pray for more laborers into the harvest. But we do it by supporting, by sending more laborers into the harvest with the truth of God's word, with the gospel. And that's what we'll be focusing on really in the next couple verses here. But there, we do see in this passage, there is a universal articulation. First of all, we saw this evening the powerful declaration of creation. But secondly, I want you to notice in this chapter, in verse number 7, we see the purposeful direction of the cannon. When I say cannon, I'm not talking about the firearm ready set, fire cannon. What I'm talking about is the very word of God that we have in our hands here tonight. The purposeful direction of the cannon. Beginning there in verse number 7, the psalmist begins switching gears from general revelation to specific revelation. He stops talking about the creation of the universe and talks about the very word of God. You see, the thing is, God has given us this book, the Bible. And it's not just a collection of stories. It's not just a collection of fairy tales. But what it is the carefully preserved and inspired word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. It's given to us by God. So I want you to notice this evening in this purposeful direction, the canon of Scriptures that we have in our hands here tonight. See, first of all, letter A, the Word of God, it regenerates humanity. It regenerates humanity. Take a look at verse number 7. And really, each of these verses are really just nuggets of truth. Nuggets of truth about God's Word. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. Verse number 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the Word of God that leads us to a saving understanding of Christ. It's the Word of God that leads us to the conclusion that, hey, I need a Savior to save me from my sins. And the thing is, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. See, the thing, it's an amazing thing when this book is preached and when this book is read, how God opens the understanding of people's hearts to the need for Christ, the need for forgiveness. And like I said earlier, that's where I was. I was there thinking, I'm a religious person, I'm doing good things, I'm a good person. When I die, you know, I'm going to go up there to heaven, the pearly gates, and they're going to have scales there. My good's going to outweigh my bad, and they're going to say, hey, you did a pretty good job, come on in. And that was my mindset. As long as I was a good person, did good things, I could make it into heaven. Probably. And that's the best attempt I had at heaven. But that all changed when I started attending Cole Love Baptist Christian Academy. And it was there that they encouraged me to not only look at God's Word, but to read it, to memorize it, to have it. You know, own your own Bible. I mean, they encouraged me to get into God's Word. And it's through the preaching of God's Word that I began to understand. It's not based upon my works. You know, my religion's not going to get me to heaven. Me working as hard as I can is not going to get me to heaven. What I need to do is place my full and complete trust in Jesus Christ alone to forgive my sins and to give me eternal life. That's how you get saved. That's how you're born again. You need to place your full and complete trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what I did November 2003. And praise the Lord for that. But the thing is, maybe you're sitting here tonight saying, Brother Travis, I don't know for sure. You know, this is my first time meeting all of you. But the thing is, maybe there's somebody in here saying, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I died tonight. I don't know where I spend my eternity. If that's you here tonight, let me tell you, you can get saved. We'll get, you know, Pastor, I would love to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're saved, how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And the cool thing is, God wants you to know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. That's your homework tonight. Take a look at it. It's a good verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. God wants you to know of your salvation. What we see in this passage, the Word of God, it regenerates humanity. But the cool thing is, it doesn't just stop there. The Word of God has more things as well, too. Letter B, the Word of God, it can reroute our habits. It can also reroute our habits. Take a look at the verse number 7. The Bible says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, this word simple means somebody who's open-minded. They have a lot of space. They have a lot of room. You know, they haven't yet decided what their beliefs are, haven't yet decided what their convictions are. They still have space and room to decide all these things. And so we don't, you know, the thing is, a simple one is not yet grounded in the truth, but the Bible is that which can reroute our habits. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. See, the thing is, when we don't know what to do, and when we don't know what pathway to take, aren't you glad that God's word gives understanding unto the simple? It guides and directs. That's what it says in Psalms. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we've all been in a dark room or been in a dark situation. You know how helpful it is to have a flashlight. But the thing is, that's what God's word is to us in our lives. Don't go down this path. You need to be going down this path. You need to avoid this. You need to be, you know, doing this. That's what God's word is. It guides and directs us. So the word of God, it can reroute our habits. Letter C, the Word of God, in verse number 8, it also rejoices the heart. It also rejoices the heart. Take a look at verse number 8. The Bible says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Bible is that which gives us true joy. You know, back in Jeremiah, if you've ever done a study of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, you know there is based on the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. And he was known as the weeping prophet because really God called him to a people group. They didn't want to hear from God. They didn't want to hear from Jeremiah. And they really took it to the point where they took Jeremiah and just threw him into prison. Gave him bread, gave him water. I mean, just treated the man horribly. Not just the man of God horribly. But the thing is, I'm reminded of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said, thy word was found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You know, maybe the reason why we don't have joy in our lives today is because maybe we're looking for joy in the wrong places. You know, the thing is, here in 2018, we have so many venues to try to find entertainment, to try to find whatever the case, whatever you're looking for, you can go out there and get it. But the thing is, to find true joy, we have it right here. It's God's word. It brings us true joy. And as you make your way down, like I said, there's little nuggets of truth about God's word. Verse number 8, you see, the Bible, it requires holiness. Verse number 9, the Bible, it remains honorably. It refutes heresy. And in verses 10 and 11, the Word of God, it rewards hereafter as well. But I want you to notice this last point, point number 3. You know, we took a look at the powerful declaration of creation. We took a look at the personal, purposeful direction of the canon of Scripture. But lastly, this evening, let's take a look at number 3, the personal duty of a Christian. Personal duty of a Christian. The question comes, what are we to do with this revelation? you know, we took a look at general revelation, talking about God's creation. We took a look at specific revelation, talking about God's word. But me as a born-again believer, what am I to do with that? Am I just supposed to look at creation and say, that's pretty? Or am I supposed to say, wow, my God created this just from speaking? That's amazing. He's powerful. You know, with God's word, are we supposed to say, that's some good stuff? I should just keep to myself there. Or should we say, that's such a good thing, I need to tell people about this? You know, we do that with any product, you know, when we do reviews on Amazon or whatever. Shouldn't we do that with God's word, the message of the gospel, you know, the good news? You see there in verse number 12 and 13, God's revelation, it's a mirror to expose. God's revelation is a mirror to expose. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. See, the thing is, when we see God, whether it's through his creation, when we see God, whether it's through his word, the fact of the matter is, when we see God, the thing is, we begin to recognize who we truly and really are. Because the Bible, like a mirror, exposes us for our true being. It shows us those secret faults. You know, it shows us those presumptuous sins. It shows and it reveals it all to us. And this even applies to not only specific revelation, but also general revelation as well, too. When you take a look at creation, you get to realize you're not the center of the universe. You begin to realize you're so minuscule, you're so small. But the cool thing is, even though you're minuscule and small and really just unimportant, the thing is, you are important. God sent his son to die on the cross for your sin. That's just an awesome thought. So, but we see here, God's revelation is a mirror to expose. It exposes, it shows us so many different things. This reminds me of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6, you know, when Isaiah was exposed to the presence of God and how it exposed something to him. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did it fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. But if you can think back, you're familiar with that passage, think back to that passage, and think specifically to verse number 5. As Isaiah is there gazing upon the throne of God, gone on his throne, how does Isaiah feel? What does Isaiah say there in verse number 5? What is shown to him? He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, just as Isaiah was humble when he was in the presence of the one true Creator God, how we ought to be humble, how I ought to humble us this evening, that as we take a look at creation, as we take a look at the canon of Scripture, we need to realize that we too are in the presence of the one true Creator God. Because he didn't take a step back from creation and say, well, go at it, I'll come back later. No. He's active and alive through the night. And then just like Isaiah, how it ought to expose to us for who we truly and really are. But even though God's revelation does expose us to be sinners who struggle to do the things of God, aren't you glad that the Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword? Piercing into the dividing center of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart? You know, praise the Lord for that. He gave us his word. It shows us our sin, but it shows us our need for forgiveness. And of course, as we just saw, it gives it to us in many different things as well. But God's revelation is a mirror to expose, but thankfully, letter B, God's revelation is also a medicine to equip. It's a medicine to equip. Take a look there. Verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here we see the psalmist really coming to the conclusion of this whole chapter. After recognizing the God of creation, after recognizing the direction of God in his canon, what the psalmist says is, Lord, help me. Help me in my words, help me in my thoughts, help me in my feelings. Really help every part of my being. Help me to bring honor and glory to you as I serve you as my creator, God. And what a challenge it is to take the word of God and to let it be like a medicine to equip us for our lives. But the question I have for you this evening is, how many of us took our medication this morning? If you know what I mean. How many of us allow the nutrients, the vitamins of God's word to equip us for lives that were ahead of us, you know, for our day? In the Bible, there's this word, muse. Muse is found only twice in the entire Bible. And muse, it means to think. It means literally to purposely think on something. The psalmist said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You know, I wonder, do we purposely muse? You know what I mean? Do we purposely think the thoughts that we ought to think? You know, as we look at creation, as we read the Word of God and allow it to expose to us who we truly and really are, do we stop to think the thoughts that we ought to think? Or do we simply add the letter A to the word muse, and are we just simply going through life just being amused? To be amused, it literally means not to think. And it really has a sense of being distracted. And that's why, for example, when you go to an amusement park, what's the whole purpose of an amusement park? It's literally to distract you from the realities of your life. Don't think about the bills. Don't think about the house payment. Don't think about this or that or this or that. Think about the popcorn. Think about the roller coasters, the games, the fun, the excitement that you'll have. Be distracted from the realities of your life. But I wonder, are we going through life musing, or are we just simply going through life just being amused, being distracted from what's really important for us? You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What it's saying there is think on purpose. I'm here to tell you this evening that if you want a heart for mission, you need to make this book something that you can muse about more and more each and every day. You know, we need to just stop going through the motions and saying, well, it's on my to-do list, so I got to read the Bible. All right, did that, done. That's not what God intended for you. He doesn't want you to be good at having a to-do list and knocking that chapters after chapter after chapter. He wants you to muse on his word. Read it. If that means you're stuck on a paragraph, you're stuck on a verse, you're stuck on a verse. Muse on it. Think about it. But not just one time in the morning and then the rest of my day, that's mine. No. Throughout the day, all day, every day, every week, musing on God's word. Musing, of course, on God himself as well. That's what the psalmist said when he said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have it hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's to the point where it just becomes a part of you. You know, and because of the law of sowing and reaping, everything that you take in will eventually come out. When people ask you, what does this mean? How do I know Christ is God? If, whatever the question may be, if you're close to God, if you're musing on his word, it just becomes a part of you where they ask you that question. Well, I know in verse whatever, this is what the answer is. This is what God's word says. Not what my opinion is, but this is what God's word, that's how it's going to happen. But the thing is, we need to take time. This isn't just an overnight, I'm going to open up, whoa, got it all good. No, it takes time. We need to muse. It's a continual process. Continually is having a relation with God, talking to him through prayer, but also listening in to his word. And so the thing is, we need to think in our lives, what needs to stay? What do we need to protect? What do we need to nurture? What do we need to take care of? Well, what are some things in our life that are really amusing? Really just distractions that we just say, you know what? I don't need that. It's taking away from what I really should be using. Something that's really important. The psalmist says in this chapter, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, tonight we need to realize that while missions is reaching the world for Christ, you know, it is a team effort that includes God, you, and the foreign mission, the mission that's going to the foreign field. We need to remember the big part that we need to focus on is me, on my relationship with God, on my heart. This chapter, as you just saw, covers and focuses and covers on so many great, you know, different things, from the creation of the world to the inerrancy and infallibility of God and how useful his word is. But in the end, the Psalms come back to focus on me, my mouth, my heart. Are they acceptable in his sight? Is what I do, what God sees me do, is it pleasing to him? You know, this evening, I hope you saw and realized how awesome our God is. You know, just taking a look at this chapter, you can just so see so many different things. But I also hope you realize and leave your understanding that having a heart for missions ultimately is, you know, a heart reaching people with the gospel is ultimately having a heart for God. wanting to be in a relationship with him. This isn't a religion where you just show up and do your duty and that's it. It's a relationship. And like any relationship, you need to spend time with each other. You need to be talking with God. You need to be listening to God, reading his word. You need to be musing on him. The question I have for you tonight is, how's your heart tonight? How's your relationship with God tonight? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being dismal, where do you put yourself right now? Where do you find yourself on that scale? I know I'm not a 10, so don't look at me and say, man, I wish I could be like, you need to model yourself after Christ. But the thing is, where do you fall? And the cool thing is, you can always improve, And I like to challenge you, we really just need to get back to the basics. There's that song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And string, got kids like flopping on the floor. Very fun song, but even though we tell kids to not only sing that song and apply it to their lives, the thing is, we too as adults, we too need to sing that song and apply that song to our lives as well. Getting back to the basics. Something, musing on God's word, musing more and more each and every day so that we can have a heart for God.